A big announcement yesterday. Ford, as it says here, and I've called this from numerous stories, as you can imagine, a story like this is getting a lot of attention. Announcing last night, as it's described here, a historic investment into the future of Ford, pumping more than $11 billion into manufacturing a strong, dependable supply of essential parts for electric vehicles, creating 11,000 jobs along the way. And it is, this commitment, the single biggest investment in the history of the 118-year-old automaker.
Wow.
That can get your attention.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's a lot of, mainly it's for the batteries, necessary for the future of electric vehicles.
Yeah, that's the way it's going. You have to have the facility. You can't rely on someone else to provide something as critical as that when it's virtually the whole drivetrain in the vehicle.
Well, this commitment is going to pay for a new assembly plant to build the all-electric F-Series trucks, but the other facilities, three more, will be three battery plants. Ford says bringing the battery supply chain to the United States will insulate Ford, as it's described here, from being held hostage by battery shortages, the way the industry has been kneecapped by the global semiconductor chip shortage.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, you understand that. If how often have we said, you know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to make things that we need to make right here in the We know sometimes because of different products that are necessary, maybe you have to ship things or whatever, but yeah, if you can build more here. Two battery plants built in Glendale, Kentucky, and then a big battery plant and truck plant to be built in Stanton, Tennessee, is Ford. And I didn't know this. I'll get to this in just a moment. I didn't know Ford had a big history with Tennessee, which I'll get to. Maybe you guys knew it.
Okay,
I didn't know.
No.
And the investment is $7 billion from Ford and another $4 billion from its joint venture battery partner, SK Innovations of South Korea.
I see.
So they are using global partnerships in this as well. But the plants are all going to be here. The plants, according to Ford, will produce twice as much per year of all the batteries made in the U.S. for automotive use. It's 1 million units of batteries annually once the plants are up and running.
Well, and obviously and hopefully with all current environmental standards in place when you're dealing with batteries.
Which is one of the reasons I understand that's why they're going to Kentucky and Tennessee, because if I understand correctly, some of the parameters of building, you could not be near any earthquake or hurricane zones, had to be near highways and railways, and close to aquifers to create potential to heat and cool portions of the operation efficiently, and the climate had to be as unchanged as possible throughout the year. Because some would say, well, not Michigan.
So they want stability.
Yeah, the Michigan extremely cold winters
or
to the extremely hot summers.
To the south,
so it can be hot there. That's more of a balance where they're going to be located, I guess, in Kentucky and Tennessee. And I think there's also, well, they already have plants in some of those areas. But other things you talked about, some of the recycling that's going to be done, it's all part of the whole project. It's amazing. And again, I didn't know this. It says here, this is what really fascinated me too. Tennessee officials say that Ford's return to the state is special because of its history. Back in 1913, Ford produced wooden wheels and body foundations for Model T Fords at a plant in Memphis.
Oh, okay.
I had no clue. Really?
Yeah, those wooden spoke wheels. Okay.
I did not know that they had that history back to Tennessee. In fact, Ford actually opened a Model T assembly plant in Memphis for a few years before relocating to a facility in South Memphis in 1924, then going to Ohio in 1958. So they say Ford is returning to its roots.
Okay, never knew.
I
never knew that at all.
No.
Whatever it had to do with raw material, like being able to have access to oak or some other strong wood or something like that from that region to build those wheels.
That, you know, it doesn't say. I suppose it's possible. But you think of how much we concentrate automotive history in Michigan, obviously, for the big three, as we used to know what was going on, especially with Ford's presence here in the state. But, producing wooden wheels and body foundations for Model T Fords back in Memphis in 1913.
Did not know that.
No.
Okay.
No. I'd like to know more about that history.
All right. So, again, getting back to the whole weather thing.
Yeah.
And the reason why they picked the go down there is...
Part of the reason.
Part of the reason. is that they're saying that it just offers more stability. So they can deal with it as the temperatures are warming in that area. They're okay with that. It's they're not going to get the cold weather mixed in with the hot weather.
And again,
as long as it just stays hot, they're okay with that.
And free and clear from earthquake zones, hurricane zones, the highways, railways. Mike, I wonder if there's also a centralish location that could possibly be part of it too. I'm sure there are other things in the story that aren't being described here.
Reduce shipping costs, I suppose. Maybe.
Yeah. I guess that could have something to do with it. Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, Michigan has received a lot of money with auto investments through the years. I guess it's inevitable.
Certainly has its big presence here and is not abandoning its presence here.
Right.
And also on the heels of this, too, and this might be a big important thing just for the general consumer, Ford also, was this Jim Farley, of course, the head of Ford? I'll make sure I have this right. His announcement, too, as part of this, is that Ford understands also that making electric vehicles affordable for the public needs to be a top priority.
Absolutely.
He says he's deeply worried about affordability. He says average people right now can't afford these vehicles, and we have a lot of work to do to make them more affordable. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me up at night. And also, one more quick thing. All this is being done without any concern of what's going on in Washington. Ford says this plan is not built on one administration. And I'm sure they mean Republican, Democrat, obviously.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Their policies. Our plan is our vision, our plan. We'd like to see help, perhaps, and maybe get, especially for consumers. But our plan is our vision, our strategy, and we're not relying on anything coming out of Washington. So trying to take maybe any of the political decisions out of it. Wouldn't that be interesting? Because how many political decisions have been with all kinds of corporations and industries and things like that?
Hmm.
You know how that goes.
Well, the EPA will be there to watch every move they make, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a time frame, by the way, Ford hopes that production can begin in 2025.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah. And again, this is where the private sector, they knew this is where they were going to be moving for years, and this is where it's all starting.
Yeah. So, again, how often have we said this is the news today? What are we going to be doing in 2025, 2030?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully doing something.